Luke, it's Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. The words will be up on the screen. But Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told.
...of that first Christmas, but it was something that was history. We were watching what actually took place that first Christmas 2,000 years ago. That's how important what you guys were telling us about really is. Those events that you described for us 2,000 years ago actually happened and have enormous significance for today. They're the most important events that have ever happened in history. And I don't know about you, but if you're anything like me, it's sometimes very easy to forget that. When we get to this thing called Christmas, and we think, what is Christmas about for us? It's very, very easy to forget that Christmas is all about Jesus. And so we're going to use, have a look at this next slide, we're going to use a little map of Emerson's Green. That's how complicated it is to get around Emerson's Green. We're going to use a map of Emerson's Green just to help us think about what is Christmas really about. You see, sometimes if we think about Christmas, we can get deluded. We can start thinking that it's about other things other than Jesus. And so we're going to follow this star, and we're going to think, and use this little star to help us think, what is Christmas about? So here we go, right? Have a look at this first. Okay. Strictly Come Dancing, right? Have a look at the next slide. What's this next slide? Can anyone tell me? Well, that's a picture of Jake. Dragon's Den. Good man. So this Dragon's Den, what's this? Meg? Downton Abbey. And what's this last slide? Who's that? Someone on this mat? Yep. The Queen. Excellent, Mr. Shepherd. Now, what do these four pictures remind us about Christmas? You see those four slides? What do they remind us about Christmas? Christmas telly. And when we think about Christmas, it's easy, isn't it, to start thinking of dancing and dragons and Downton, three fantastic D's on different channels. You'll see I'll be very faithful to BBC One, BBC Two and ITV there. And we can start thinking that telly, what we watch on telly, our Christmas is Christmas is decided by that. We kind of think, oh, telly's on, and what are we going to do at Christmas? And we watch telly, we watch lots of telly, and we can think, is that what Christmas is about? Is Christmas about just the things that we watch on TV? Well, let's see, does our star keep moving? And the answer is yes, it does. So no, the star is telling us that it's about something else, but it stopped. What do we see next? All right, what is that? Now, it's a bit tricky. What do you think that is, mate? Not sure. Kat? Do you know what that is? A bottle of aftershave. Very posh aftershave. It's described as aftershaving milk. Well, it's just something you put on aftershaving, I think. All right, so it's aftershaving milk. What's next? Some Christmas crackers. They do look like Christmas crackers. I agree with that. But they're not. They're not Christmas crackers. They're not wrapping paper. Do you know what? Those are handkerchiefs. How posh is that? So they're very, very posh handkerchiefs. What about this next one? You'll recognize what those are. Hands up what those are. They are I hear it. Socks, good girl. And then this last one, what have we got there? It's a little game. Someone can play snooker on their desk. Now, what are those reminding us of this Christmas time? Hands up if you can think. What are those about? What are those describing for us? Some presents. Presents for who? For Dad. They're the kind of things we might buy Dad. Certainly the socks. Dads are very hard to buy for, aren't they? They tend to have a lot of stuff. The stuff they really want, like a new car, is a little bit out of our budget. And so dads tend to get things like this, which are kind of tokens. What does Dad actually want for Christmas? But it reminds us, doesn't it, for all of us, Christmas can be about presents. Hands up if you're looking forward to presents at Christmas. And there's not a hand down on the mat here, and there's people lying at the back there. We all look forward to Christmas. Really look forward to Christmas because of presents. We like getting presents, and we think, oh, it's a great opportunity. I see lots of my friends have got this kind of thing, and I really like it as well, and lots of people are going to buy presents for me. But is it the presents are what Christmas is all about? Even though we do a lot of shopping and a lot of buying and a lot of... Is that really the point of Christmas? Well, let's have a look. No, our star keeps moving. And it's still moving. And it's come to a stop again. So let's see now. What do we see next? Who can tell me what those are? Don't know.
Carrots.
They're very like carrots, sweetheart. They are parsnips. But I know what you mean. They look like carrots to me too. What about those? Look at those. Brussels sprouts. Imagine having a bunch of Brussels sprouts like that for Christmas. All on your plate. Here's the next one. What do you think these are? What do you think these are?
Vegetables,
absolutely. What type of vegetable? Potatoes. Good girl, they're potatoes. There are very many kinds and varieties of potatoes, aren't they? These are the ones we might often be used to, but look at the range of potatoes. What about those? Peas, good boy, peas. And this reminds us that often Christmas, we can think about food. Food at Christmas and all the cooking that takes place, all the vegetables we eat, Christmas lunchtime meal, kind of Christmas dinner, and the meat that we eat and the vegetables, and it's great to eat lots of food, isn't it? And lots of time goes into preparing at Christmas. But is Christmas all about lunch? Is it all about the wise person who says after lunch and asks Mum, what's for tea? Is it really about food? Right, well, let's see if our star keeps moving. And the answer is it does. It still hasn't come to the point of Christmas. But it stopped there. What about this? Let's have a look at this last slide. 25, 26, and 1. Three numbers. What do we think those are about? Advent calendar, that's good. You're on the right track there. Dates. What kind of dates are they, Jake?
25 is Christmas.
Good boy. Excellent.
And
the first.
First is
good man. Well done. And otherwise known as bank holidays, aren't they? So we get three bank holidays that are grouped together. Now you guys down here, you just get fantastic school holidays. The guys at the back there, right, many of them work, mums and dads, grandparents, and they look at these bank holidays and they think, okay, I've got so many work days to try and cover, how can I fit as many days consecutive holidays as I possibly can so I can have some time off? And for us often, Christmas can be about holidays. Just rest. I want some time off, time from work, there are my bank holidays, I'm going to factor in some other days as well and get a good break. But is that what really Christmas is all about? Now, look. Have a look at those four pictures again. Time off, telly, food, and presents. Do you know what? These things God has given us to enjoy. These things in and of themselves, they're not bad things. So God has given us food to enjoy. The Bible says that. The Bible says God has given you food to enjoy. When you get food, be thankful for it. Give thanks to God for the food that you have. It is right at Christmas time to think about people who haven't got as much food as we have. And to think, what are we doing about that? How can we share the food that we have? How can we be generous? But God also means us to be thankful for the food we have. It is good to give and receive gifts. God wants us to be generous with the things that we have and to give to other people. God delights to see us doing that and also to be thankful to those who give us gifts. We're meant to be generous and thankful. Do you know what? God means us to rest. God wants us to have time off. He wants you to have time off from school, and mums and dads and grandparents to have time off from work. God made us so that we would work and so that we would rest, to enjoy our holiday time. And do you know what? God even made us creative people with brilliant imaginations. God meant us to be able to write great works of literature and paint and enjoy music and dance and to enjoy reading. God has made us creative people with imaginations. So it's good to express that. Christians sometimes can come across as those who might, you know, think that kind of fun and enjoyment and creativity, oh, we're a bit, absolutely not. Christians should be the most fun and enjoying and creative people on the planet. God has made all these things for us to enjoy. But they are not the reason for Christmas. Let's look where our star ends up. Look, it ends up at the stable. The very things you guys were describing to us. Listen to these words from, this time, Matthew. So Matthew chapter 2, and let me read to you about the wise men who first followed that star 2,000 years ago. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh. And after being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. These wise men, these magi, remind us what Christmas is about as they follow that star. Let's see why. Here we go. And the next one. The magi show us what Christmas is all about, and here's why. They were looking for what God was doing. We read that right at the beginning of that passage I read out. They come to Jerusalem and ask, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." They are looking for what God is doing. They are following this star. They get to Jerusalem where they think the king might be. And then they discover from listening to the Bible where God's king will be born. Verse 6, "You, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." So they hear from the Bible and they want to find out what is God doing. They are looking for what God is doing. But not just that. Secondly, the Magi also show us what Christmas is all about because they worship what God has done. Not only do they look for what God is doing, but they worship what God has done. Verse 11, "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him." They worshipped this baby, King Jesus, born in that stable. And so kids, young people, adults, mums, dads, grandparents, friends, this Christmas time, the Magi teach us and ask us two big questions, and here they are. Are we looking at what God was doing? And are we worshipping what God has done? In other words, this Christmas time, are we looking at what God was doing 2,000 years ago? Like those Magi, are we looking at the Bible? Are we thinking about life? Are we thinking about how God has revealed himself in his Son, the Lord Jesus? And are we looking intently at that? We hear the story often at Christmas, don't we? The kids and the children, we hear it often read from the Bible. And the question is, amongst all the gifts and the food and the time off and the presents, is central to all that what God was doing? If you looked at our Christmas day, if you looked at our Christmas week, as a family, you guys sharing with mums and dads and grandparents, is what God was doing central to our activities? Let me give you a really good example. After on Christmas Day, we've met together here, and maybe we've had Christmas lunch, and we're getting ready for presents. As a family, are we those who will get a Bible and open it up and read it again to each other, and just have a time together where we remember as a family, and as a larger family here, what God was doing that first Christmas? In other words, is that central to our fun and to our activities and to our thoughts and to our Christmas time? And secondly, are we worshipping what God has done? Now, listen really carefully. The reason that we need to ask ourselves this second question, are we worshipping what God has done, is that by nature, we don't worship God. By nature, we actually worship presents and holidays and stuff and food and television and anything else in the place of God. By nature, we worship the created things rather than the Creator. By nature, we concentrate on the presents more than Jesus, on the food more than Jesus, on holidays more than Jesus. And it's for that very reason that God sent His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. So that we would realize that by nature we are sinful people. That we don't look and trust and love God, that we look and trust in ourselves and the things that we can get. And because God loves us so much, He sent His Son into the world to say, look, this is who I am. Turn away from yourselves. Turn away from your sin. Turn away from your self-preoccupation and look to the God who made you. Look to the God who loves you. Look to the God who wants to forgive you for your rebellion through the sending of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. By nature, we don't worship God and what He has done. But because God loves us so much, that first Christmas, He sent His only Son, Jesus, into the world that we might know God, know who He is, and know the way to forgiveness with this God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what His death and resurrection is all about. When Tim came out of the box there and made that shape of the cross, that's what we're reminded. That 33 years later, after Jesus being born, He willingly hung on a cross so that through His death, we might know the joy of sins forgiven. One of the most amazing elements of Christmas is that Jesus, who is God, left the throne room of God, the splendor, the power of the throne of the heavenly realms, and became poor for us. Even though He was rich in all splendor and glory, God willingly became man, became poor, so that we might know who God is and the way back to God. Thou who was rich beyond all splendor, for love's sake, became a man. Let's stand and sing that.